Hello, and welcome to WrestleWolf. I'm your host, Damian Gibson. You can find me on X at WrestleWolf. I have officially changed the old handle from Damian Gibson to WrestleWolf to give me a veil of mystery and importance in the hate machine that is X.com. So, the obligatory, I've changed the format of the podcast intro. I'm just going to do short eps about particular news subjects or a particular show. So it might be a show about Dynamite. It might be a show about Hulk Hogan, which is what this one's about. Triple H's booking, the connections between MAGA and WWE. These are all going to drop over the next little while. And I'm going to try and do them pretty regularly. So if you follow me on Twitter, so like I got a gig that was meant to be a long-term gig, writing for a website called Monthly Pereresu, doing New Japan stuff, and that just did not work out. But in the course of that, I had to go back on X because, that just nothing happens in the wrestling industry that isn't on X. It just hasn't moved. It's interesting because, like, a lot of other things that I'm associated with, the entertainment industry, politics, music, most of those industries have moved. Like, they've moved their online infrastructure completely. Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok, you know, in particular. And I'm not saying wrestling doesn't have a presence on those platforms, but it really is, you know, like, if you want to be involved in anything that's going on with pro wrestling, you've got to be on X, and you got to be on there every day. And you can make a name for yourself. A lot of people who are on there, from Voice of the Marks, who I really like, to JD from NYC, who I don't particularly like. A lot of most of these guys have got their following on X. So anyway, my point is, I had to go back on X because I was looking to do this gig. The gig fell through, and I stayed on X because I found, like, I was on there for, I don't know, 3 days and had 30 followers. And I was getting those followers because I was being very anti WWE. WWE. By the way, if you're a WWE fan and you've downloaded this podcast, you're probably not going to like it. I'll give you some backgrounds for the people who are new from X and from social media. Lifelong wrestling fan, lifelong WWF fan, WWE fan, right up until pretty much, put it this way, I was still watching a lot of WWE right up until WrestleMania. WrestleMania 2020? Was that the one where Drew McIntyre won the world championship? I think it is. It's either 20 or 21. I think 20. So even for the first couple of years at AEW, I was watching both, right? So I'm not, I hadn't been completely radicalized, but from day dot, AEW was just so much more exciting. It reminded me of wrestling that I really loved growing up, ECW, WCW. Even the new generation era and attitude era of WWE, there was not necessarily in the booking or the storytelling exactly, but there was an excitement, a newness about AEW. But what I also started noticing around that time was that WWE very much came across to me more and more like a Republican / MAGA organization. And the, you know, the lack of vaccine mandates for competitors to start even before that, the lack of mask mandates. So, like, 5 months of the COVID, the pandemic, there was nothing in WWE happening. AEW was doing all of their shows outside. Everyone had to be masked up. People were getting tested for COVID. And none of that, like before you could even come into the building, none of that was happening in WWE. And it took Kevin Owens had to go and knock on Vince McMahon's door and say, "Hey man, I got a wife and 2 kids and I don't..." Yeah, so Kevin says, "I've got a wife and 2 kids and I don't want them to get COVID. You know, like, can we put some mask mandates in place at least for people who aren't in the ring?" And so he did. And once I started to hear stories like that, there were photos of trucks rolling around with MAGA flags on the top of the cabins and all this kind of stuff. And that was pretty much it for me. When I saw those photos of the Trump flags, like, proudly waving on top of WWE touring trucks, I was like, "Nah, I'm out, man." And so that was 2020. So 5 years later, for five years, I have been trying to point out to people, people in my actual life, like friends of mine who are still, would consider themselves big lefties, you know, woke, whatever you want to call it, and still watch WWE. And their argument is, "Listen, man, you know, it's an escape for me. I just want to escape and watch wrestling from time to time." But at what point does what's happening with an organization or a company or a sports team or a band or whatever off stage or behind closed doors or behind the curtain, when does that stuff get to the point where you can't keep watching the product? And I think for a lot of people, the last 2 weeks in WWE history will be a pivotal moment. There's going to be millions of people who watch this no matter what. Like, I also genuinely think the product is not good. Maybe people could make arguments about production values. Maybe people could make arguments about promos and theme songs and celebrity guests, even though I think that is slowly killing their own business. But the in-ring work in WWE is fucking atrocious. It's awful. And their safe way of working just, you know, everyone's always talking about what's killing the business. This kills the business, that's killing the business. The Young Bucks kill the business. The fucking unedited or unscripted or whatever the fuck the new WWE reality show is called is killing the business. What kills the business is the wrestling in ring in WWE. I watched the was it SummerSlam 92 main event? It's Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart. Intercontinental Champion Shawn Michaels versus World Heavyweight Champion Bret Hart. And it's still pro wrestling, but there is a reality in that match. It goes for like 35 minutes, 40 minutes, that keeps you intrigued, you know? And that just doesn't happen. I mean, in AEW, people work snugly. There's a lot of strong style going on. So I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of Japanese wrestling. So, you know, maybe I'm more predisposed to it. But if two people are fighting, I want it to be violent. And it's just not violent in WWE. But yeah, so last 2 weeks, besides the fact that the product I don't think is particularly good, Triple H I don't think is a particularly good booker. I don't think he was a good booker in NXT. I think he had one of the best rosters of all time. In that NXT, in that original Black and Gold NXT era, a lot of those people have ended up on AEW. And that's why AEW, I mean, the wrestlers, for the most part, is what will make things good, especially if they're allowed to wrestle. I think, I will say this, Hunter probably gave NXT Gold a little bit more freedom than Vince would have. But yeah. But the last 2 weeks, there's been... WWE has started to become a lot like the Trump White House, where there's just sort of awful story after awful story. You can't keep up. So I wanted to go back at the beginning of this 2 weeks. And there were kind of two things going on at once. And I'll talk, the second thing I'll do a small little episode about is Eric Bischoff talking about, well, Slammiversary, and then Eric Bischoff talking about how TNA are this close to being the second biggest company in pro wrestling. Just a little bit of background about me. I'm a communications student, so I've got a bachelor in communications. I majored in creative writing and film studies, but it also, when you do a degree like that, you study very intently PR and marketing and comms, communications, and how they are drawn up and how they are submitted to the general public and how they get spread around on purpose. And, you know, WWE are a big company and they have a lot of people who work in those departments, and they don't stop. And I also think they employ bots, like, you know, bot farms and stuff. Tony Khan has talked about having evidence of that. When you go on X, it would be the least surprising thing on earth if that was discovered. But anyway, let's get to the Hulkster. So the Hulkster passed away. Now, when anyone dies, you know, it's a sad thing. You're not going to revel in someone dying. But Hulk Hogan was, you know, is on tape talking about how he wouldn't want his daughter to end up with a black person in a relationship, but used way worse words than that. He used the N-word multiple occasions. His son was in a car accident that's allegedly, it's been said that he was the cause of the crash, and then there's a phone call that's been recorded where Hulk Hogan says, well, don't worry about it, you're not going to die because you're the chosen one. And then they make fun of the other kid, Nick Hogan, I think his name is, his friend, who's like a quadriplegic in the hospital. You know, there's allegations of sexual misconduct. There was a complete estrangement from his daughter, Brooke. But she's now coming out and saying that that's because Hulk's second wife is a Scientologist and she's afraid of her. So, which seems, that seems legit, because you wouldn't be the first person who has said, I'm terrified of the Church of Scientology. But then he also, like, had a very late turn to Christianity. Like, I mean, he was always kind of like, say your prayers, and had a gold chain on and stuff. But there was this sort of born again thing. And then as soon as that happened, lo and behold, he showed up at a Trump rally and put his full weight of support behind Donald Trump. So just another link between WWE and the Trump presidency. And look, the excuse of like, oh, well, he's the president, we've got to interact with him. You don't have to go to the White House and cut promos. You don't have to, you know, have photos of you with the president on your desk at work, you know. But anyway, so Hulk Hogan, you know, the last time he was on Raw, which was in LA, he genuinely, and people, you know, the internet wrestling community will say a lot of people, there's a lot of like, oh, this person got booed out of the building, they got booed out of the building. Hulk Hogan got booed out of the building on that night. And like, as a kid who grew up in the 80s watching wrestling, it's a huge fall from grace. I wouldn't say it was sad to see, but it was definitely like, oh man, look how low. Oh, the other thing about Hulk Hogan that came out was that he busted a unionizing attempt that Jesse Ventura was trying to do in the 80s. So just completely ratted out the rest of the roster to Vince McMahon. So with all of this in mind and all these stories coming out over time, you know, WWE try and trot him out. So after the racism thing, they basically banned him. And then with this maggotness sort of creeping back into WWE, they just... and it kind of started with Hulk Hogan last year coming back, where they were like, oh, well, we'll just roll Hogan out and see what happens. And he got booed out of the building. But they don't seem to care. They didn't seem to care. I mean, they didn't invite him back, but then when he died, oh my God, the eulogies and stuff. And listen, he made a lot of money for Vince. He made a lot of money for WWE. So there would be a lot of people who work there and a lot of people who love the place still, which is insane to me, that would put that all fairly on the shoulders of Hulk Hogan. And listen, Hulkamania was a real thing. That, you know, there was a period in time from like 83 to, man, I reckon right up until 89, like, where he was one of the most famous people on earth. Kids loved him. I loved him. He wasn't my favorite, but I did love him. You know, everyone loved Hulk Hogan because he was the good guy. He was the John Cena. He was the Cody Rhodes, you know. But putting all of that on Hulk, you know, that success, is completely unfair to everybody else that was on that roster. I mean, most importantly, Andre the Giant and Roddy Piper, who were pretty much his two biggest heels. And then, of course, Macho Man Randy Savage, who was a heel and friend throughout that whole period. If you don't, you know, you don't have those guys at the top of the card with Hulk, none of that happens. So anyway, this all leads up to his death, and then there's just the eulogies on WWE TV. They just did not. Cody alluded to him being a difficult person to talk about, but essentially saying like, "Oh, but he made a lot of money here, so you know we've got to give him that." You know, we've got to give him some. There was a lot of, like, it was pretty disgusting to me, really, because not at any point did Hogan repent for any of his racist views. Not at any point did he back down from them. Not at any point did he show any contrition. And then the moment he died, the amount of, and it was all from Americans. See anyone from any other country saying this shit. The sort of like, you know, he may have said some bad things, but he's got a family, god damn it. And if it wasn't for him, pro wrestling wouldn't exist. And, you know, who cares? Who cares if he's got a family? You know what I mean? There are a lot of black people in America got families, you know, who were fucking disgusted at the things that Hulk Hogan said. There's a lot of people suffering in America at the hands of the MAGA, you know, mob squad that run America, that the Hulkster was so happy to lend his support to. So, like, you know, your actions have consequences. And not everybody has to be completely devastated when someone who at best was a pretty selfish person, at best, you know, at worst, a union-busting racist, dies. You know? And then there was this weird thing that happened on Twitter where the WWE bots, the fedophiles, just went crazy. And it immediately, like, so the discussion online was, you guys shouldn't be celebrating this guy. This is bad. You know, what the fuck are you guys doing? You know what I mean? Like, what are you fucking doing? And then somehow in 12 hours, the comms that obviously come from WWE HQ, attack AEW, attack him. They need to give some credence to Hulk Hogan this week. Otherwise, they're the worst. They're evil. They're the devil incarnate. And then Wednesday rolled around. Dynamite didn't say a word about him. And I was ecstatic. I was like, great. He never worked there. Tony Khan banned him from AEW because of the racist filth that him and his wife had espoused in public. And then, of course, Tony Schiavone on Friday just broke down and was like, Hulk Hogan is a, you know, he might not be a good person, but he has a family. So let's all just show some, you know, Tony being Tony and trying to be the voice of reason and stuff, which would be fine if it was just a guy, you know, who was a bit of a dickhead, like The Undertaker. I don't think there's anything on the record of The Undertaker being racist. He's definitely a big MAGA guy. And I don't think there's like any alleged sexual assault cases against him or anything like that. So if The Undertaker was to turn around and pass away tomorrow, yeah, a bit of a dickhead, completely disagree with his politics, always complaining about young people. But, you know, I would be like, look, The Undertaker was a big part of WWE and, you know, condolences to the family and stuff. But once you get to the point where you're like David Duke's level of fucking racism, you know, where you barely, where you might as well be walking around with a fucking cowl on your head, you know, with a white fucking hood on your head. I'm not repenting. I'm not going to kneel down at the statue of this man just because you think I should. And then the fact that Tony even gave any credence on AEW when it was like, he never fucking wrestled here. And he doesn't vibe with the vast majority of AEW's fan base. You know? I'm sure there's plenty of people watch AEW who are MAGA. I'm sure there's plenty of people who watch AEW who vote Republican. There are people on the roster who are that. Jericho, the Young Bucks, to name a few. But once you start outwardly, you know, and to me that's bad enough, but when you're outwardly being racist or homophobic or whatever, and then just don't repent for years, you're like this, and then you don't repent on any of it, and then there's an expectation from, you know, people who love them when they were 6 years old to be like, well, you've got to say something nice about my guy because my guy died and I'm sad. You know? Like, if John Lennon, I love the Beatles, if John Lennon passed away yesterday and half the world were like, well, he fucking smacked Yoko around, so fuck him, I wouldn't come online and be like, well, on this occasion, you should be ignoring domestic violence because I love his music. You know? And then, like, I think the person I hate the most in almost all walks of life now, but in particular in wrestling, is the why can't we just enjoy all wrestling guy who has been around for the last 5 years. You know, the people who listen to Simon Miller, people who are like Wrestle Talk subscribers, where it's like, oh, hey, man, I just like wrestling. Get out of my face, man. I'm just a wrestle guy. Leave me alone, dude. Why can't I just watch my wrestling? Because you live in the fucking real world. Because you live in the fucking real world. And this organization that is the most powerful organization in the profession that we all love are awful. And their love and adoration for a man like Hulk Hogan. And the transparency of that in itself was disgusting. Because it's not... There's many reasons why they want to do this. They want to sweep all of that under the rug so they can get Hulk back. You know what I mean? They can put him, you know... They can put statues of him in their offices. They can have Hulkamania t-shirts. They can have fucking Hulk do-rags. You know, it's all about monetization. You know, they did it with... They still do it. Like, you can still... When you go to a WWE show, you can buy Macho Man shit. You can buy Roddy Piper shit. You can buy Andre the Giant stuff. I don't know if any of the families get any of... That I assume WWE owns the fucking copyright to all of those names, so probably not. But you can call me deeply cynical, and I am with everything that WWE does. But that was after like 2 days, I'm like, ah, this is what this is about. It's not about, hey, you should be, you should give the reverence to Hulk that he deserves. It's about like, we want to sell some fucking t-shirts here. So we're going to fucking go into bat for the Hulkster, even though, and there's also like a full mask off thing with WWE in the last few weeks. Where it's like, oh, hey, we don't care. We don't care about any of this. We don't care about being decent human beings. We don't give a fuck. If it makes money, we don't care. And like, this was always going to happen with the TKO buyout. UFC is exactly the same. The political climate in America also allows these people to just think that they can get away with anything. And there's numerous other things that have happened in the last couple of weeks, Brock Lesnar in particular being the one that I saw the most pushback for online. But for a week and a bit, it was Hulk. And then SummerSlam happened. There were fucking mega propaganda videos being shown in between matches, which fucking blew my mind. And then the next night, Brock Lesnar was brought back. So you just haven't had time to breathe. You've had Paul Heyman basically doing a victory lap. Basically going, ah, fuck you. Who cares if he's a fucking, you know, alleged sexual predator? You know, we'll fucking, you know, cry me a river. That's another term that could fucking be dropped from social media as well, by the way. Fucking cry me a river. Like, fucking grow up. You know? Swear. Like, use some fucking big boy words. Fuck, cunt, piss, jizz. Cry me a river. Fuck off. You fucking puritanical cunt. Anyway. The reason why... I mean, besides the fact that he was a cunt, what worries me about all of this to do with Hulk Hogan is that if we open the door a little bit towards like, he wasn't that bad. You know, within a year or two, people are so goldfish brained that they will, you know, be like, because the only thing that really will be left over is the wrestling, right? And I can understand if he was a lesser arsehole, that winning out in the end, you know? So, like, the way Macho Man treated Miss Elizabeth in real life is not great. I don't know if there was actual physical abuse, but there was definitely a lot of emotional abuse in the relationship. Both of them have spoken on the record about that, and there's whole dedicated episodes of Dark Side of the Ring, you know, about that. And, you know, eventually Randy moved. He moved on from wrestling altogether, got together with his high school sweetheart and became a completely different person. So people can be redeemed, You know, maybe that would have happened with Hulk if he had lived. Who knows? And I think, you know, in the 20-odd years since Macho Man has passed away, you know, a lot of that stuff dissipates and what is left is the wrestling. And you know, Ultimate Warrior was an absolute lunatic, racist psycho. Like, he wrote manifestos, man. Like, you can find them online. He was batshit crazy. And I'm sure a lot of people, what's wrong with that? Like, I mean, you know, like, in comparison, like, oh, well, if he does it, why aren't you making a whole episode about the Ultimate Warrior? And I was like, well, if I was making... I remember when Warrior died, they named a whole fucking award after him. And then gave it to kids with cancer. Like, you know, it was like the Warrior Award. And, like, this poor little kid who was a massive WWE fan won the Warrior Award. Just gross. So they do it every time. And if I had a podcast in 2010 or whatever that was happening, I would have made an episode about the Ultimate Warrior. But if you didn't know any of this stuff about Hulk Hogan, you can look it up. I'll put some links in the notes about this stuff just to sort of reference where I'm coming from. But just a truly not nice person in so many different ways. And what's worrying is that WWE, because of legacy and money, were more than willing to put all of that to one side to continue to try and make money off the name of a legitimate, racist, union-busting arsehole. And then when that's pointed out to people who are, you know, WWE people, they don't care. I just had to say so. I had to come and sit down in front of the microphone and talk about it. For 2.5 weeks, it's just been eating me alive. So, yeah, I just wanted to send this bottle out into the ocean that is the internet, and hopefully it washes up on your shore. And if you knew this stuff, it reminds you. And if you didn't know it, now you do. And you can go and look up more about Hulk Hogan's background. And I mean, there's this whole other story about his Scientology and his ex-wife and Brooke being afraid of him. Like, this bad shit. It just felt like wherever Hulk Hogan went, there was bad stuff going on. But yeah, you know, leave it there. Thanks for listening. Follow us on X or Twitter at WrestleWolf, and we'll have another episode out in the next couple of days.